This morning, if you will turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21, we're beginning a new year, and since we are, I wanted to bring you a message that would pertain to this new year. And so the title of this sermon is, Behold, I Make All Things New. And the Lord gives us new things and good things in this new year, even by His Spirit, even by according to His purpose, even according to His good will concerning us in this year. And so we should receive all that He would have for us as we listen to this message. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, we thank You that You have brought us to this place once again to worship You, to give You the glory due Your name, to bow before You in our hearts and to receive Your word as for what it really is, Your holy word, which performs a work in us. We pray that it would perform a work in us in relation to this message that I will deliver to Your people at this hour. We pray that even as we consider this truth, that we would look forward to the future, that we would not dread it, that we would not be afraid, but that we would see that Your loving kindnesses indeed never cease, and Your loving kindnesses are new every morning, and great is Your faithfulness. So help us to receive the truths that I will bring to Your people now, in Jesus' name, amen. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then He who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Well, another 365 days have passed away and will never return to us again. And you and I are now closer to the regions of eternity where our state before God will be fixed forever. And so what lies ahead for you will be determined by whether or not you have been made new in your heart by the Lord Jesus Christ to love God, to keep His commandments in this year of 2021. What lies ahead for each one who believes in the Lord Jesus will be, it says here, a new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells, we are told in the book of 2 Peter. And so I want to declare to you the three things from our text here which are coming in the future for the everlasting encouragement of God's dear people. First of all, the old things will pass away and there will be new things that will come. Verse 1, it says, Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was also no sea. So let's think about this passage here together. We need to understand the context together. that Christ will already have come in his second coming, and all of the dead will have been raised, and all men will be judged according to their works, and death and Hades will have been cast into the lake of fire, along with all of the wicked. And all of God's saints will have been raised from the dead on the day when Christ returns. And we, by the way, we who are his saints, will also stand with him then and judge the world, it says in the Bible. Or do you not know that we will judge the world, that is, with Christ at the last day? Quite an amazing thing, is it not? And Christ is not going to annihilate the heavens and the earth, but rather he's going to purge the heavens and earth. He's going to purify them of all sinful influence and elements. And in order to understand the need for this new heavens and new earth, we need to remember that in the beginning, God created the present heavens and earth, and that something came into it to ruin it and mar it, this first creation. You recall it, but I think it would be good if we go back and we take a look at this just for a few minutes together in Genesis chapter 1. I want to read to you verses 1 to 6. Genesis 1 and verses 1 to 6. It says here, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and morning were the first day. And then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day, it says there. Now the word heaven here in the New King James Version is capitalized in the 8th verse. And I personally think that it was a mistake there to capitalize that word heaven. I believe that the New American Standard Translation has it correctly and has not capitalized it, because I do not believe that we ought to be thinking of this as the heaven of heavens where God himself dwells. The NAS calls the firmament an expanse here. Heaven, where God dwells, is another dimension altogether, and it should not be confused with the physical heavens that he created. And so God, it says here, created the physical heavens and earth, and he created man as the centerpiece of it. But because of Adam's sin, it was also true that the creation fell when Adam fell. That's what happened at the beginning of the world. Adam fell from his original righteousness. He was created upright before God. He was not a sinner in his creation. He was created to serve God, to love God, to worship God, to follow everything that God would command him to do. But then the devil came, as you might remember, and tempted Eve and said, has God said that you'll die if you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? He said, surely you will not die. God knows that you'll become like him, knowing the difference between good and evil. And so Eve, thinking that she would be wise by eating this fruit, she foolishly disobeyed the commandment of God to them, the first couple, and she died spiritually at that moment, but didn't realize it for a little bit. And so she gave some fruit to Adam, her husband, and he took it and ate it as well, and they both spiritually died at that point. Now, when they died spiritually, you need to understand that not only were they marred in their being, sin entering into their mind, heart, soul, and spirit, defiling and corrupting them in every way, but sin also entered into the whole creation through this means. And since that was the case, that's why you and I live in a fallen world today. We live in a fallen world today because of Adam's sin and the consequences of that sin upon all creation. And so that's why God has to, at the last day, why Christ has to, at the last day, recreate the world as we're being shown here in the text that we're studying this morning. This physical world is passing away, and the lust thereof in all the people. But our sin as people affects the whole world. Adam's sin in the beginning not only spread to all men, but to the whole creation. And so it labors under the sins of men and the consequences of Adam's sin from the beginning. I need to turn you over to show you this to Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. I want to read down to verse 23. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. You see, the redemption of our body is a very real part of our eternal salvation. Because when we believe in the Lord Jesus, we are saved as a whole person. Not just part of us, but every part of us. But that salvation, in terms of its application, takes place in stages. Certain and definite stages. First, we're born again. And at that time, our spirit is regenerated. We're given life in accordance with God's eternal purpose. He saves us with a holy calling. And then over time, what's He going to do? He's going to make us holy people. He's going to work in us. He's not only going to justify us through Jesus Christ our Lord, but He's going to sanctify us by imparted grace, giving to us to understand that as we work at keeping the commandments of God by the grace of Christ, we will be transformed into the image and likeness of our Lord Jesus. But you see, there's something about our body that's true in regard to all this as well. The body is dead because of sin, it says. But the Spirit makes us alive in Christ Jesus. So we will still have to die if Jesus has not come first. We will still have to die. And the reason we have to die is because what we're talking about here that happened at the beginning of the world. In Adam, all die. But in Christ, all shall be made alive. That is, all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our body, after a time, will still grow old and die. And eventually, it's going to become dust. Again, if we're in the grave long enough, I got a bunch of books this past week for Christmas from my wife on the Queens of England. And boy, oh boy, you think that you're going to have just a wonderful read about all the glorious times that these queens had. And You get to Henry VIII and you see he was cutting off their heads. I mean, it was terrible, terrible situation. But then you read of other queens and they're dug up hundreds of years later to be moved from where they were originally buried. And they open up the casket and there's their bones, all dust. And you see, that's what we need to understand, that time goes on and people die and generations come and they go. But God does not change. His purposes do not change. And His purpose in salvation for every single person does not change. And in regard to our sanctification, we are being transformed. And one day we shall die and go to glory to be with Christ and to behold Him face to face. But at the same time, our body will be placed by our loved ones in a casket and put into the ground. And we'll await the resurrection from the dead. We'll await the second coming of Christ when all the dead shall be raised. That's what we're talking about here. That's what we're studying here this morning. Eventually, if you're in the tomb long enough, you become dust. But you should rejoice, you who believe in Jesus, because when you're buried with Christ into His death. So that even as Christ planted, you're planted in the likeness of His death, so that even as Christ was raised from the dead, then you too will not only walk in newness of life, but then at the day when He returns, you will be changed to be like Him. You'll be raised from the dead, and you'll be given a glorified body. What a glorious day that will be. You see, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But the death that Jesus died spiritually, He died to sin once for all. Romans 6:10. And so He conquered sin and death, and He rose from the dead physically. And because of His death, we shall never die spiritually, we who believe in the Lord Jesus. But we shall all die physically because of Adam's sin. The sin was connected with his physical eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it was a physical eating which brought eventual physical death to his physical body. It was his eating and our being his descendants that brought death to all men. And in the day Adam and Eve ate of this physical fruit, they died spiritually, like I said to you, but then some 900 years later, they died physically. They both died in faith. They died in the promise of Christ given to them in Genesis 3:15, that Christ would come, the seed of the woman would come and crush the serpent's head. And so He did at the cross. It was through His death that victory came. It was through His resurrection that new life came and new life comes to us when we believe in the Lord Jesus. So they died in faith, and we will die in faith if Christ does not come first. Because of God's good purpose, I'm saying, through Christ, we shall all eventually conquer, and even physical death itself we will conquer. And we need to look forward to that. Behold, I make all things new, the text says. Because awaiting us this same day of His return, the day that we're waiting for, the day when all these spiritual things will pass away, because of God's good purpose in Christ, we're going to eventually conquer even physical death itself when we rise again on the last day. In Romans, it says that the creation groans. Well, we groan too sometimes, don't we? But the whole creation groans waiting for that day, because when that day comes, we will all stand there with Christ in mid-heaven in our glorified bodies, and we will watch Him recreate the world, the new heavens and the new earth. All of God's elect will be gathered from the four winds, it says there in the Gospel of Matthew. And we will stand there with Him and watch Him recreate the world anew by fire, refining it, purging it of all its sinful elements and corruption. And you see here, all that's related to sin and death is going to pass away forever from that time forward. Now we groan now, it says here, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Why? Because we're still looking forward to that day. But we groan in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection from the dead. Behold, I'm making all things new. That's what it means, first of all. And then second, the tabernacle of God, it says here in our text, will be with men and he will dwell with us. Let me read to you verses 2-4 once again. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. It says here, it goes on to say, there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying, no more pain, for the former things will have all passed away. So this holy city, it says, the New Jerusalem, will come down out of heaven. What does that mean? The New Jerusalem is going to come down out of heaven. That's all of God's saints. That's the city that he's talking about. He's going to recreate the heavens and the earth, but the city that he's talking about here, the New Jerusalem, is all of his church, his bride, his people that's talking about here in verse 2. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, it says here. So Christ is going to be dwelling with us. We are going to be his people, it says here. God himself will be our God. But we need to understand that we together are talked about here as a city. As a city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You should understand that the church is Christ's bride. That's a great mystery, it says in Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 25, but nevertheless we ought to receive it. We ought to be able to receive it. That all of Christ's church together is seen by him as his bride that he will wed someday forever. We are betrothed to him now. We will be wed to him forever at that day when he returns. Because we will be his bride and the bride will have made herself ready. As it says there, in Revelation chapter 19. We need to understand these truths, look forward to them. Behold, I am making all things new. Things are not always going to stay the way that they are. God is going to deal with so many different things in this world in generations to come before Christ comes back. He's going to deal with many, many things, but we will not be able to see sin eradicated from this world or the world made new in the way that I'm talking about until Christ returns. Oh, we need to see this. We need to look forward to it because it's then when all the tears shall be wiped away, it says here, from our eyes. It's then that he will assure us that there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, because the former things will have all passed away. Will it not be a good thing to think about looking forward that the Lord Jesus, whom we have never seen with physical eyes, we will see him face to face. We will be transformed by him. We will be glorified by him. But then we will understand him also wiping away all of our tears of all the things that we would have wanted to see have happen, that we did not see happen in our time or in our life. He will do that. Glorious thing. He will wipe away all of our tears. I do not understand how he will do that for all of us, but he will do that. And that's why it's written for us as a bride. Oh, my bride, I wipe away your tears of all the persecutions, all the afflictions all the different things that you pass through in this life, all the oppositions, all the afflictions, all the untimely deaths, all the things that bothered you and troubled you, they're all passed away. Behold, I'm making all things new for you. I will make all things new for you so that you will rejoice forevermore. We need to respond to that, don't we? We need to respond to it by seeing that His presence with us as our Shepherd King will convince us in that day that there will be no more pain, no more crying, no more tears, no more death. The former things all passed away, and that's what we have to look forward to. Because of Christ, all that is sinful, all that belongs to the old life of sin, has already begun to pass away for all who believe in Jesus. But in that day, it will completely pass away, and there will be no more sin. It's already begun to pass away in your conversion to Christ, dear Christian, and it's passing away by degrees more and more in your sanctification as you mortify sin in your life. But in that day, it will be completely eradicated and gone forever. I want you to turn with me over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, and I want to read to you verses 9 to 14 to show you what kind of response we should have to these things that I'm talking to you about here. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 to 14. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Maybe I better back up here just a little bit. It says, verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord, that is, the day of the Lord's return, will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells, it says here. So, what should be our response to these things? Well, our response, it says here, is that we ought to not count His patience as something that we should then think, well, the Lord's not going to come. He's going to put this off indefinitely. He's never going to come back, and all things are going to continue on as they were from the beginning of the world. That's not going to be the case. It's all in God's time. It's all in God's purpose. It says, don't forget here, this one thing with the Lord, one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. That's how the Lord looks at time. The passing of time in God's sight, a thousand years, is like a day to Him. It's like a moment to Him. He sees all the generations. He looks upon all of them. He can take it in all at one, as one, and at one point, one time. He can see it all as it unfolds. He's there continually. I am the God who was and is to come, the Almighty. But He wants us, Peter wants us to remember, and some people willingly forget, that it was by the word of the Lord that the heavens were old and the earth of old were made, verse 5. standing out of water and in the water. And we were reading about that just a few minutes ago, by which the world that was then existed, it perished in the flood, being flooded with water, and all flesh died. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, in other words, it's upheld by Christ Himself, in whom all things consist and who holds all things together, it says here, is being reserved for fire at the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. That one day that's talked about in the Scripture as the Lord's return. Don't forget this, that one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. The Lord's not slack concerning His promise here, as some count slackness. He's patient towards us. He's not willing that any should perish. That's the desire, that's the will of desire in God, that none perish. It is true that He has His elect. It is true He chooses from the foundation of the world. But His will of desire is that no one perish. God does not delight in the death of the ungodly. He does not delight in casting men into hell. It's His desire, will of desire, and His delight that men repent and turn to Him and find life in Jesus' name. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. That is, it will come to those who are not looking, to those who are asleep in their sins, who are not looking for Him in that holy sense that we should always be looking for Him, looking for His coming, that we should always have the grace of preparedness, that we should always be ready and be watching and have our lamps lighted, like it says in Matthew. We should have that in our heart and our mind. We should always be saying, well, you know, the Lord could come at any time. Yes, it's true, but He does have purposes, doesn't He? And all those purposes, all those good purposes will be fulfilled. He could come for you in your death, even today. And how suddenly sometimes people pass away, and they are not ready, they are not prepared. So what should our response be? To behold, I make all things new, because He will make all things new. And there will be a judgment, and Christ will return, and the saints will be glorified. But will you be ready for His coming? Because on the day of your death, you will lose your body until that day when He returns, and you're given the glorified body, so that the next thing that you will see with your glorified eyes will be the Lord Jesus. Do you see that? That's what you'll see. So how should you live then? It says, looking for and hastening, verse 12, the coming of the day of God. In other words, as you live your life, just hasten it in your mind by your own holy and good behavior, preparing yourself for that day, which you don't know when it's going to come in terms of your death, and you certainly don't know when it's going to come in terms of His second coming. But I want you to see that we can prepare ourselves for this. There can be a good response, and the response is believing the promise, behold, I have made all things new, and I'm going to make all things new. I will make them all new. You're a new creature in Christ. Then how should you respond? You should respond by saying, Lord, let me repent of every known sin in my heart and life, even as I go through this life. When I see sin in my heart, let me repent of it. Let me not tolerate it. Let me not sit there and think, well, this might be a good thing for a while if I could just stay in this sin for a while. Oh, no. The best things are always with God. The things of righteousness are always the best things. The things of His presence are always the best things. So you're looking forward and hastening the coming of God when you are living soberly and righteously and godly in this present evil age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. That's what you're doing. That verse applies not only to the last generation, but it applies to all the generations since the moment that it was put down in the book of God. And oh, how we need to see that. So in the day after all these things take place that I'm talking about, the day after the wicked are sent to hell, as it talks about in verse 8 of our text, there will be perfect peace, beginning then and lasting forever for all of God's people. In the new heavens and the new earth, we've already seen the need of a new creation because of sins marring it and polluting it. And God then has to recreate you as a new creature in your new birth. You're being born again. And He has to purge you and purify you in your spirit in an ongoing sense. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us, to purge us from all unrighteousness. He does that in an ongoing fashion in our lives. But I'm saying, after He comes back, He will establish the earth forevermore through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, God the Father will. I want you to look with me at Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verses 65 to 72. It says there, "Then the Lord awoke as from sleep, like a mighty man who shouts because of wine. And He beat back His enemies. He put them to a perpetual reproach. Moreover, He rejected the tent of Joseph and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which He loved. And He built His sanctuary like the heights, like the earth, which He has established forever. He also chose David, His servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes that had young, He brought him to shepherd Jacob, His people, and Israel, His inheritance. So He shepherded them according to the integrity of His heart and guided them by the skillfulness of His hands." Now you see what God is saying here, don't you? It's that it's His purpose to have a people for His own possession. Now, people who wouldn't turn back from Him like those in Old Testament times did, and why He had to bring so many judgments upon Israel. He is saying, "I'm going to make a new covenant, not like the old covenant before, which your fathers did not keep, which they broke. Then I had to judge them and take them away to captivity," like He talks about in Psalm 78 here, and all the great judgments that He had to bring upon them. He relates they're being brought out of Egypt, and yet in verse 52, He made His own people go forth like sheep, guided them like sheep in the wilderness, like a flock, brought them to His holy border, verse 54, His mountain, which His right hand acquired, drove out the nations before them. Look at all these great things He did for them. Allotted them an inheritance by survey, and made the tribes of Israel dwell in tents. Yet they tested and provoked the Most High. In other words, they didn't respond right. And dearly beloved, you and I have to learn to respond right to God's goodness and mercy that He shows to us day after day by repenting and continuing to repent of all of our sins that we find in ourselves and continuing to pursue after holiness and righteousness all our days, because God's purposes and God's plans are not going to change. It says here, He built His sanctuary like the heights. He rejected the tent of Joseph, verse 67, did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah. That's the tribe of our Lord. That's the tribe of David. And first He chose David. And He built His sanctuary like the heights and the temple that was made through Solomon. He did the nation of Israel good. He watched over them in mighty ways. He built them during Solomon's reign. But then Solomon himself was not faithful. And so then what happened? The kingdom was divided. in Rehoboam, Solomon's son's days. And they were then, in generations following, not faithful. They were revived at certain points, like through Josiah. But eventually took them all into captivity. And what happened? The whole nation went down. God had to bring them back from that captivity. He was merciful to them once again. That's what this whole Psalm 78 is about. He chose the tribe of Judah, and it wasn't then just David that he was choosing or Solomon that he was choosing. He was choosing the Lord Jesus to exalt his sanctuary like the heights. That is the New Testament church like the heights, like the earth which he has established forever. That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about the New Testament church and what he was going to do to establish Christ's kingdom and let the nations behold his glory. You and I need to deeply appreciate the work that God has done for us in regenerating our hearts, if that's what he has done. Are you a saved person? If you are a saved person, you have a regenerate heart. You have been made alive by the Spirit of God. God is going to perform the good work until Christ's second coming. He's going to be faithful to do that. But will you respond rightly? Will you prepare for his second coming and the new heavens and the new earth by repenting of your sins and pursuing the Lord Jesus in the year 2021 with all of your heart and with all of your strength? Will you resolve to do that? Or will this just be another ho-hum year? Oh, well, it's another year has come, and nothing really changes. Oh, beloved, do you remember how much God brought to us in 2020? 1 year. 1 year he did all those things. What will he do in 2021? Behold, I make all things new. He can make this a glorious year. What an amazing thing it is. Our response ought to be righteousness. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn away to turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. Now ask yourself, does my life shine like that? Am I such a person? Am I letting my light shine so that people see my light? And because of the light that I'm shining, they begin to understand something of gospel truth and their need to be saved. They see me turning away from sin, and it makes them scratch their head because they know how I once lived. That I live for myself, that I live for worldly and earthly things, but now I live for God and for Christ. When they see that, I'm saying that's a step. That's your light shining to them so that they will turn. That's your turning them because your light is shining. Blessed are those who turn many to righteousness, it says there. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever. Now that's the way that you're going to be. Dearly beloved, when Christ returns, you will shine with the glory of Christ forever and ever. What an amazing thing. And let me read to you then, because I want to. My third point is very simply this, that the person who overcomes will inherit all things. Let me read for you again verses 5 to 8. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Wow, isn't that's incredible, is it not? Behold, I'm going to make all things new. He says his words are faithful and true. It's done. I'm going to give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. That's not talking about after he comes. That's talking about now. Because after he comes, your thirst will be completely satisfied forever and ever. You will need thirst no more, dearly beloved. But he's giving this as a promise to the one who thirsts. Do you thirst now? Because he's saying, if you thirst now, he's going to give to you the water of life freely now. You thirst for salvation? Maybe you've never been saved. If you thirst for that salvation, then come to Jesus and he'll give you the water of life freely. But this is also and especially talking to believers, those who have the Spirit, those who have the well of living water springing up in them to eternal life. Will you not pray and seek the Lord in your thirst to know more of God in the year 2021? Blessed is he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. Who hungers for righteousness, he shall be filled. He shall be satisfied. Who thirsts, I will give the water of life freely. See, it's not something he withholds from you if you ask. More of the Spirit. Ask for more of the Spirit. That's what we need in 2021, to know the power of the Lord in our lives. To know the power of the Lord unto righteousness and holiness. To know the power of the Lord in our witness to people around us. That's what we need. Well, and there's another way it says here in these verses, that you will know that you're being made new day by day in your journey of sanctification. You're the one who's trying to overcome. Do you see it there in verse 7? He says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. So you're going to know in your heart that you have been made new when day by day you have this great desire to overcome. To overcome what? To overcome the world. To overcome your flesh, your remaining sinful corruption, to overcome the devil in his schemes against you. You see, if you have that desire in your heart, and you pursue Christ personally in regard to that desire, he, it's saying here, will answer you, and he will encourage you with this promise, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, which links in with our perseverance, doesn't it? Because the person who knows the Lord will persevere throughout their life, even to the end of their life, in their faith, in their trying to become more like Christ, in their trying to become more holy and righteous and to keep God's commandments and to be faithful to Him, so that when you see Him face to face on that day, He will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Into the joy of your Lord. Behold, I make all things new. So I'm saying that should be your response. To look forward to this. To overcome. To press on. To know the Lord. That's what the Lord would have you to see from this text. That you won't rationalize your lack of faith. Or your lack of obedience. To God's word with the words, "Well, that's just the way that I am." But no, you're an overcomer. You're an overcomer. I'm going to overcome the world in this year of 2021. I'm going to overcome my flesh this year, 2021. I'm going to overcome the devil because you give me the strength, dear Lord Jesus, to overcome. Come. You see, you won't be then overcome by the pull and the boastful pride of the world. Worldly people around you trying to get you to live more and more for the things of the world rather than for Christ, because that's what's going to happen. They're going to pull at you. You see, the more blessings that we receive, that's where the greater challenge of the world is. You may overcome your flesh and the devil, but the world may be still glittering to you. And you haven't overcome the world yet. You still love the world and its lusts, but you can overcome. Even as a young person, blessed are you, young men, for you have overcome the devil. You have overcome the world. You will overcome the world by faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, as it says in John chapter 5. So, may you make Christ's heart glad in this year of 2021, and may he make your heart glad even now with his presence and his wisdom and his power coming to your soul even in these days. Let's pray together. We thank you, Father, for this text. We thank you for a new year in which we can serve you. We pray that we would take to heart these truths and that we would thirst for the water of eternal life, and that we would thirst for more of the Holy Spirit, that we would thirst to be overcomers, and that we would be given grace and see the great joy that we will have in seeing this promise fulfilled unto us personally. Behold, I make all things new. So may that be the case in each of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close now our time by singing hymn number 17, Ye Holy Angels Bright Who Wait on God. And we will be waiting on God in the year 2021. Hymn number 17, let's stand together for this hymn. God's right hand, or through the realms of life, fly at your Lord's command. Assist our song, for else the theme too high does seem for mortal tongue. Ye blessed souls at rest, who ran this earthly race, and now from sin released, behold the Savior's face. God's praises sound, as in his sight with sweet delight ye do abound. All nations of the earth extol the world's great King, with melody and mirth his glorious praises sing. For he still reigns and will bring low the proudest foe that him disdains. Sing for Jehovah's praise, ye saints that on him call. Him magnify always, his holy church. All in him rejoice, and there proclaim his holy name with sound. Rejoice. Let's do these a cappella. My soul, bear thou thy part, triumph in God above. With a well-tuned heart, sing thou the songs of love. Thou art his own, whose precious blood shed for thy goodness love made known. Away distrustful care, I have thy promise, Lord, to banish all despair. I have thine oath and word, and therefore I shall see thy face, and there thy grace shall triumphant fly, then I shall numbered be, built on the eternal rock. His glory we shall see, the heaven so high with praise shall shall sing in harmony. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen and amen. You are dismissed, and may the Lord go with you.